You want to do the intro with me right now?
No, I don't know what to do.
Yes, you do. Yeah, that's all we do. All we do is we come back in time, as we've done now. Mm-hmm. We're back in time.
Okay.
We're at the beginning of this episode.
Oh, hello.
I say my name is Tavin Allen, partnership with Byte TV. You're listening to Cat P, and also part of the Pod Almighty Network of Podcasts. I've gotten that all mixed up, but all the information's there.
It's there.
And if Darcy wants to splice it together, he can. He can put it in a semblance of order. I kind of like the way it dropped out of my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the intro to the episode that has Ian McIntyre on it. He's here with me.
Hi, I'm the episode Ian McIntyre.
He's very, very surprised that he's doing this.
Yes,
and
I'm quite perplexed.
Well, all we're doing is we're telling people what we talked about.
Oh, God.
That's all we talked about. We started with a little bit of Gian Gomeshi.
Yes, and then we talked about the Toronto election.
Mm-hmm.
So, laughs aplenty, guys.
Tons. But hilarities.
And then we moved on to Halloween movies.
Halloween movies. We got distracted by my alarm and talked about shower shots.
Yes.
Shower selfies. Yep. Then we closed off with human torsos on a truck.
Yep.
That's where we went. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the Beaverton.
And the Beaverton.
And that's it.
Yep.
So, you're sitting there going right now, they just told us everything that that they're going to talk about. We don't need to listen to this now. Darcy, you're going to have to beep that. Anyway, come and listen to this episode. It is rather delightful. Enjoy.
Goss was just texting me. Apparently, CBC, as it happens, had an interview with a woman today who was assaulted by Gian Gomeshi,
right,
who was not one of the four from the Star article.
Oh.
And they have a whole other one tomorrow. Whole different woman. The CBC is going to try and annihilate him now. Because they offered to let him go away quietly,
mm-hmm,
and prepare for the Star's expose, and instead he spit in their faces.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Because he is, this is just you giving us permission to air this. We can start with that.
If you want. I don't know if I'm the right person to talk intelligently about that.
I don't think we need to, because he's kind of, the best line I saw on it, let me see if I can remember it, is Daryl Purvis sent this tweet out. It's like someone asked me what BDSM stands for. And I said it was bad decision, stupid man.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's fun. Here's the thing. Even since the days of Moxie Fruvis, I thought he was a dick.
Yes.
I always have thought he's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me is just sort of him kind of pretty boying his way. He's always sort of had that leverage. Like I actually had the privilege of seeing Moxie Fruvis in university.
Ooh.
Oh, it was so good. I was dragged by my girlfriend.
Huh.
And I enjoyed the opening band. But no, they were... I thought they stank beforehand. And then I saw them again and went, oh, great. And it just... even then, it just sort of struck me as like... these, in the same way that you can listen to Animotion from 1980s and just go, that's the sound of cocaine. This was an outfit that just screamed, these guys need to get laid and laid fast.
Gotcha.
And it was... It sort of had that feel to it. And he's obviously a man who's always known that he's a nice-looking guy.
Sure.
And would never have a problem getting any woman in the room that he wants.
Yeah.
Speaking lasciviously only.
Sure.
And now it's kind of coming to bear,
mm-hmm,
that I think he's sown the wrong seeds.
Oh, for sure.
To be for sure. And yeah, if any of these cases hold water,
mm-hmm,
because what I'm loving about this is that the discussions coming out about BDSM culture, a lot of people are going straight to that.
Well, that's
saying,
what he wanted.
Right.
That was 100% his publicity firm's intention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how much of that Facebook note he actually wrote.
Right.
Because it
can
was...
Can I guess none?
Like, it's in his voice, so I could conceivably see, like, them saying, here are the 8 points you need to hit.
Right.
Do this in your own words,
mm-hmm,
and then we'll do a pass on and rewrite it.
Right.
Something, like, I feel like it was a process back and forth.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, it was mostly them, because it's like there's so many specific things it's engineered to do. And like, mm-hmm, you said, to shift all of the conversation to this is about BDSM,
right,
and about people persecuting me for being into weird things.
Right.
And it's like it's not in the slightest bit about that.
No.
Even if it was just about the woman you sexually harassed at work, mm-hmm, that's a fully fireable offense.
Sure.
Like, you deserve to lose your job just for that, let alone these four women that you were alleged to have assaulted.
I'm pretty sure that if I went into my office slapped my hand onto the back of one of my pod mates. Let's make her female, too.
Sure, yes.
And said, hey, like to hate fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of like that.
Yeah.
Just like that, you know, as you do. Not even first, hey, do you want to go for a coffee? By the way.
Yeah.
Love to do a little bit of hate fuck.
Like,
yeah. I'm pretty sure the next phone call is like, oh, it's HR. I guess they want to give me a prize.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And just the fact that this guy has been apparently doing this for so long.
It's not surprising.
It's not. It's right? Really not. It's kind of a sad indictment of the CBC that it needed to get this far for them to do anything about mm-hmm. it. They needed to find out that the Toronto Star's main investigative pit bull, as I saw him described this week,
right.
had been investigating this for the better part of a year.
They had Bobby Slayton on the case? That's nice.
I don't know who that is.
It's the pit bull of comedy.
Right.
Been around since 1980. Yes, you know, Bobby Slayton. Yeah.
That guy. Boy, I thought he was the pitbull of rap, who's named Pitbull.
No, he is the guy that you want investigating in this case. Think about it. Yeah, there she is. A couple of broads comes over. He wants to go over. Hey, fucker, what the fuck?
You sound like that guy from Futurama. no, but like the fact the CBC had to find that out and be like, oh, we should do something about this thing that's been sitting under our noses for years.
Right.
Is pretty sad.
Unless there is some form of trigger piece or something that came to light where, because you got to know, the CBC has lawyers, right?
Oh, of course.
They're going to have a law staff. They're going to have a firm that is in control of everything that they do, everything they put out, because they're a Crown Corporation.
Well, yeah,
right?
I saw someone tweet that earlier this week. They were like, oh, yeah, Crown Corporations love firing front-facing talent without cause. Their HR departments and lawyers love that.
Right.
So there's no way they fired this guy without crossing every I and dotting every T.
Right.
And his first move was to try and make it look like they didn't.
Right.
Like this was just a willy-nilly firing because mm-hmm. they got wind of he was into some weird stuff in the bedroom.
Right.
I guarantee you they have hard evidence that he assaulted women.
Sure.
And I know that we don't know that yet.
Uh-huh.
I'm willing to stake my reputation on the fact that they have that.
His buddy from Final Fantasy is not really lining up well.
Oh, is that Owen Pallett?
That's Owen Pallett.
Yes, okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I know. Oh, that was amazing.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ian McIntyre. Oh, you're listening to Comedy Above the Pub, all comedy all the time. What are we talking about? Sexual assault.
Yes.
Oh, the hilarity.
Yes, so funny.
Yeah, so many skits from Monty Python.
I will say,
that subject.
A funny thing about Gian Gomeshi, my only ever encounter with him, slash my favorite encounter with
okay.
him.
Okay.
Was a couple years ago. Do you remember when the Kids in the Hall show Death Comes to Town came
yes.
out? They did a live event for it in the CBC atrium.
Right.
I went down to see it, and it was all five kids on stage, and the event was moderated by Gian Gomeshi, taking himself very seriously.
Of course he does.
And them not giving him one shred of respect.
Right.
Just them asking him to sing Moxie Fruvis songs and like interrupting him and making fun of him.
Right.
Because they just like openly disrespected him,
mm-hmm.
and he was getting so frustrated by
right.
it.
Right. I sort of wish I had more deep tracks for Moxie Fruvis outside of King of Spain. And
no one remembers anything outside of King of Spain. They were a nothing band.
My Baby likes a Bunch of Authors. I remember that was one.
Okay.
And they had this song that was so self-referential. And the lyrics were something like, it was all very somber. It was when the Gulf War was hitting. It says, they came to us and asked us to write a song about the war in the Gulf. And I'm like, oh, so you're actually going to write a song about writing a song, you milk-cocking... Just try and get as sensitive as you can, you pathetic little poets in 90s vests.
God,
it was brutal.
Ugh.
It was a complete and utter sound rape.
Okay, here's the thing for me. Like, I guess I don't have that many friends who avidly listen to CBC radio.
Sure.
But for years now, I guess in the Toronto comedy scene anyway, I've only ever heard Gian Gomeshi referred to derisively.
Right.
And I don't mean about anything creepy. Like, I've heard that he's creepy with women, but that yes. was really all I'd ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Just that he was kind of a sleaze. But it's just like, I've only ever heard him openly mocked.
Right.
Just people being like, he's a pretentious piece of garbage.
Uh-huh.
No one likes Gian Gomeshi.
Yeah.
And I guess I just find it so baffling that he apparently has this following.
Right.
And this ardent following that's still willing to stand behind him.
Exactly. It's like an overeducated Ford Nation.
I guess, yeah.
You know, like, there's like, no matter what happens, they're going to stand by this guy through thick and thin until evidence comes cripplingly apparent.
I remember at Sunday Night Live, it just became a running thing that if you wanted to end a scene, you didn't just like, how Gomeshi. You make fun of Gian Gomeshi. Darren McIntyre wrote this great, I think it was Darren that wrote it. It was about a guy riding a unicycle to work.
Sure.
Like down the street and everyone getting annoyed by him because he was pretentious and obnoxious.
Right.
And then at the end, another guy in a unicycle shows up and they like have a connection.
Right.
And he's just the most pretentious, obnoxious person in the world. And of course, it turns out to be Gian Gomeshi. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, a huge laugh.
Uh-huh.
People loved it.
Of course.
It's like, oh yeah, that guy we all hate, right?
Right. We did a celebrity sighting on this podcast a few episodes ago. I think it was with Ivamy.
Right.
When he was here. And, was it?
Did you guys cite a celebrity out this window?
No. I'm trying to think. It wasn't Ivan Me. It was a celebrity sighting, and it was Gian Gomeshi as I was walking to the studio.
Huh.
And, I'm like, even in like the warmth, it was like a warm fall day, like, you know, when we're hitting those 23, 24 degrees. That's to the American listener and those abroad. That's warm.
Yeah.
That's our crazy Celsius system that we're using there.
I don't understand your Fahrenheit system.
Hardly
so
use
sorry.
Anywhere. I know. Double it and add 30. That's all I know. There he is walking down, sunglasses on, doesn't want to be recognized.
But so wants to be recognized.
Starbucks in one hand, iPhone and thumbing in the other. Just, oh, and this is what tipped him off to me. The first thing I saw was, and the first thought that went through my head is, who's that fucking asshole wearing a scarf?
Hat.
And that's what I came. It's like, oh shit, of course it's him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's him. So if any of these things kind of come to light, and first of all, there was that Jane XO or XO Jane. I always get that.
Oh, yeah. And,
that article.
Either way, I know which one you mean.
That was written about a date
with
him, which was written as him being Keith.
Yeah, well, she didn't want to say his real name,
but it was blatantly obvious who she was referring to. And just like, as soon as I went back and reread that article in the face of all this, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, yeah, of course.
Oh, lady, you dodged a bullet.
Yes.
Like, you had a brutal experience, uh-huh. but you dodged a bullet.
Exactly. If any of the allegations are true, that's it. But this is the thing with that sort of celebrity culture, and this is what really drove the point home for me of like why I truly don't like this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
It's that he's been able to place himself into a position socially and culturally mm-hmm. where that he can get away with murder in the same sort of way that the Fords did it politically in the city.
Sure.
Where he's able to, like you say, Pied Piper these people along to support him vehemently and then brings in this whole, this has not been a good week for women.
It's
if
true.
I may say.
I will say this, though. I am optimistic, assuming that these allegations are true, assuming it's not some insane, massive conspiracy, which grows increasingly impossible by the day.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming this is true, I don't think he walks away from this the way Ford walked away from his scandals.
No.
No way in hell.
So he's not going to get cancer.
Todd Van Allen.
What?
Oh, goodness. No, I
stated a fact. Rob Ford has cancer.
I just think that the kind of people who support Gian Gomeshi, like, he's sure, he might have some kind of weird lunatic fringe who supports him through thick and thin, but 90% of the people who listen to him on Q and who respect him, arguably, I'm making air quotes right now around respect.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes out that he did awful things to women, especially if it can be concretely proven, they're not going to tolerate him anymore.
No.
He doesn't get $50 million from the CBC. He doesn't get another gig on some other radio equivalent.
No.
He goes away forever.
He starts
in
a
shame.
He starts a podcast.
Sure, yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah, sad, sad podcast. Oh, no. Sorry, Todd.
That was the best Gian Gomeshi impression I have ever seen, certainly in this studio.
No, but yeah, he goes away in disgrace.
Yeah.
If this all really gets played out the way that I think it's going to, because apparently, just as we're recording this right before, apparently they had a woman on CBC As It Happens who was also assaulted by Gian Gomeshi.
Right.
Who wasn't one of the four women named in the Star article.
Right.
And apparently they have another woman tomorrow. Also not from the Star article. Mm-hmm. So now we're up to six.
Right.
Like, there's lots out there.
I think as more and more of this happens, there's going to be people becoming more and more comfortable with the fact that this is now open.
And that's
when the floodgates are going to open on this.
Because I think that people, after the initial shock of that $50 million lawsuit that he launched, I think there's been a lot of great pieces written about how that's horseshit.
Right.
It's 100% just a political move to try and define terms, to try and chill other victims from coming forward.
Right.
But I think that people are looking at that and being like, that he asked for such a cartoonish amount of money that, once again, perfect Giangameshi form, no one can take him seriously.
Exactly.
So I think more women are going to come forward. Yeah. I think this is going to get a lot worse for him.
Yeah.
Again, assuming it's all true, which sure. I totally assume, this is going to get terrible for him.
Right. I think more and more is going to look like the mailbags in Miracle on 34th Street. They're just going to be coming forward and just choking the courts with them, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
That's going to be bad times.
So what's the name of this podcast?
Comedy Above the Pub.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So far, this sounds exactly like a conversation we would have in a bar.
It does, actually.
It does. Where were you election night? These are one of the things I wanted to talk about, and you're the guy. Well, actually, I know you were near a computer because you were tweeting quite a lot.
No, I wasn't.
You did some.
Not really. Election night, I worked the election polls.
Oh.
I worked in a polling station.
Where was that?
Todd's pouring me water.
Of course I am.
How nice. He's even got a little carafe. It's great.
It's from IKEA.
Aw, cool. Yeah. I feel like I'm in a restaurant.
By the way, go into any restaurant right now. They've all got these swing top bottles.
Yeah.
With IKEA emblazoned on the bottom.
Ha. Yep. Oh, that's where they come from. Neat.
Yeah.
Election night, I worked the polling station at College Street in Brock.
Okay.
And it was the biggest mistake I've made in months.
Why? What happened?
It was just a miserable experience.
Okay.
It was a ton of hard work.
Sure.
The gentleman next to me, God love him, he was quite older, did not speak great English.
Sure.
And clearly just did not have a great grasp on the job we were there to do.
Right.
So I spent most of the day fixing his mistakes or being yelled at for his mistakes. And eventually it just got so busy.
That's a government job.
It got so busy that I couldn't even go to someone and be like, I think you got to take this guy off of this.
Right.
Because he's making more mistakes than he's...
Let me fill in for you.
Oh, it was goodness. Very sweet man. And clearly,
sure.
100% his democratic right to be there. And God love him for taking part. But, and then like the counting machine broke at the end. So we had to stay even longer.
Right.
Because no one can leave until... This printout has been sent out,
sure.
And everyone signs it. So I didn't get to the beer store before it closed, which was the only thing I wanted. I was supposed to meet up with friends, and we were just going to sit around and watch the news, but I missed all of that.
Right.
The result came in while I was sitting there like – for one, we weren't supposed to look at our phones, but I did. But for two, it got so busy for the last 4 hours of it that I couldn't look at my phone.
Right.
So by the time I finally did at like 10 after 8, the results were already coming in.
It was the weirdest thing. For the listener who doesn't know, we're recording this 2 days after the big vote here in Toronto that sees John Tory as mayor.
Yep.
To which I would say, fine.
Sure. Great.
Fine. Literally... As I told you on Twitter, you could put a Ford Taurus in Ward 2 in Toronto and it would win. So absolutely. It was just happy to see a change happen. We'll get into the numbers in a second. Hmm. But yeah, like you kind of jumped online sort of around 10 after. But the interesting thing or the interesting and weird about this election, my thing about elections, and maybe I'm just used to the national ones, is like where you're waiting for the polls to come in across like even the province or across the country, like, you know, because there's so many time zones and all the different polls are coming in.
Yeah.
They automated everything this year in a centralized computer. So you just fed your sheet that you did into this machine, which just read the read your vote, tallied it, and then they went, okay, 8 o'clock, flicked a switch, and John Tory's your mayor.
Pretty much, boom.
That was it. It just like lit them up.
It was pretty amazing.
I will say this: it was neat seeing some of the polls stay open later
to let people vote,
which was very good of them. Mm-hmm. So that gave a little bit of attention to it.
Yeah,
but by the time it was like 8:20,
everyone knew.
Everyone was switching over to like, you know, the IT crowd reruns that were on Comedy Network, I think, at that point.
Sounds about right.
So it was whose tweet was it way back in the beginning of the year that predicted Doug Ford running for mayor and losing, Rob Ford moving to Ward 2 and winning? Who was it that predicted that?
It was that guy. Guy who tweets all the time under the name Metro Man.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, like, mark my words, here it was. Yeah, he was right.
Well, yeah, because apparently that was a contingency plan the Fords had in for quite a while.
Right.
Of if Rob falls apart too much, we will shuttle him to Ward 2. Mikey will step down as school trustee, and Doug will run for mayor and probably lose.
Right.
Because make no mistake, Doug didn't think he would win. Although he came within striking distance of it.
Sure.
I think Doug, his only job there was have to keep the family brand alive.
Yep.
And so that Rob wouldn't have to focus on campaigning as much. Because I don't think there's a conspiracy. I believe he is legit sick.
For sure.
I don't want to bring that into question. But
I will say this, though.
The timing is suspicious.
The timing is not only suspicious, but someone raised this point to me. I'll correct my statement as I'm about to make it. For a guy who's done crack and is now doing chemo, he seems to be getting fatter on both. And someone corrected me and said, you can do a regimen of steroids while you're on that.
Yeah.
And which I thought, great, you're bulking up, but then you're also injecting yourself with a poison, basically, that has chances of giving you testicular cancer.
Sure.
So, oh, God. Well played, sir.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
And
have, have a Diet Coke with that.
The crack thing, too. I mean, the reason crackheads are thin is because they're poor.
Right.
Most of the time, it's because they spend all of what little money they have on crack.
Right.
And they're not eating.
Okay.
Rob Ford is a trust fund millionaire, so he's fine.
Right.
Also, the other reason Doug Ford ran for mayor was that this was his demo tape to run for provincial conservative leadership.
Right.
Which he thinks he can do
and
is already talking openly about doing. I don't see that happening at all.
No.
Because it's weird. He keeps forgetting that the Fords are Toronto famous.
Yes.
No, not even Toronto famous. Toronto liked.
Yes.
I don't.
And on the outskirts, though, when you looked at the electoral map, it was like, it was kind of like looking at the mantle of the earth. Like you had like the molten core of Olivia Chow surrounded by the mantle of John Tory.
Yeah.
And then you had all that shit before the surface that was the ring of the Ford Nation.
Yeah. And there's very specific reasons why they've been able to do it and cultivate that base. But those conditions don't exist outside of Toronto the way that they do here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that level of poverty intersecting with that level of government services breaking down, like the failure of government to deliver services.
Right.
Which is why so many of his voters, like I read a really great post today by a guy that I used to do improv with. I believe he's a political, like a policy analyst or something like that. His name's Graham Stewart. He's brilliant.
He's not Graham Tiosoze.
No.
Okay.
I think his Twitter handle is something like NUNC or like NUNSCIO or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know him.
Incredibly smart, articulate guy. And he was talking about that video of the woman crying at the Ford victory celebration, saying like it's like John Tory winning is like ISIS coming to Toronto. And he was like, yeah, it's hyperbolic and it's ridiculous. But at the end of the day, she goes on to talk about how she thinks that Tory is going to tax her and her mother out of their homes, which is, again, hyperbolic and ridiculous.
Sure.
But she clearly desperately believes it. And he's like, and I'm willing to bet that this is a woman who lives a pretty tough life.
Sure.
If she's that worried about a couple hundred dollars more in taxes, clearly she does not have the money to spare.
Right. The fact that she's living with her mom, because she said, my mom and I will have to move.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And he just talks
I
about,
feel
like,
for her, but she lost me at the point when she, through her tears, said, those who don't believe me don't understand municipal politics, and I'll gladly explain it to them.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, oh, I can't
and there's
wait.
A lot, there's a lot of people who've thrown their lots in with the Fords who are woefully mistaken, and there's no other way to say that. But at the end of the day, these are people who've experienced in the past government not working for them.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, the Fords are the only people who came and said, I think you matter, and I'm here in person.
Right.
They ignored the fact that the Fords then did absolutely nothing to make the situation better, and in many cases actively made it worse.
Right.
But as far as they're concerned, this is the only guy who is acknowledging the fact that things aren't working.
Right.
For me. And their perception, as accurate or inaccurate as it may be, is that no one else cares. And that people downtown, for lack of a better term, are ignoring it.
Right.
And I don't know.
He plays as a Christ figure, and sure, I say the Christ figure in that it, just like Christ, imaginary, but
boom.
But what he does is like he just provides an icon,
sure,
for them to go, oh, that's the guy, and he's just walking through the low income housing, going, oh yeah, we should fix that. And then walks away.
There's no denying.
And does nothing. Does absolutely nothing.
It's a self-congratulatory cult of personality at this point. And that's all it is.
Right.
But it's an effective one. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's so effective is because of the conditions that are existing already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. The scary thing to me is the idea that no one's going to do anything about that.
Sure.
That my biggest fear with John Tory is not that he's going to be some secret conservative sleeper agent.
Right.
My biggest fear with him is that he seems like he's such an even-keeled guy that I worry that he's going to come in and be like, now's the time for Toronto to stand as one city. Everything's fine, guys.
Right.
Everything's cool. We're running the ship. There's no more crazy drama. Everything's fine. We're fine.
I don't think he'll have that. I think in his building, this is my hope.
Yeah.
This is only my hope in this, is that he's built enough friendships, for lack of a better word, relationships across council.
Sure.
With Rob Ford in there, I think my tweet was, now we can look forward to votes going 44-1.
Yeah.
As opposed to... Well,
that's what they were for
that's
the
all they were. They
8 years
were,
that he was a councilor.
They were voting against the things that they said that they were going to do.
Oh,
like,
sure.
It was just maddening.
Oh, like Doug Ford to say, like, we passed a budget. And it's like, you voted against that budget,
right,
dude.
Exactly.
You didn't pass shit.
And we have to, by law, pass it. It has to be balanced.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. By the way, every light's on in City Hall. That's us. No, that's the custodial staff.
Yeah,
the thing with Tory is that the fact that he made the move and said, I'm going to bring Olivia Chow and Sacknacki on board. And I went, okay, this is a move that no Ford would ever do.
I think that...
that's a fantastic
move. That's a fantastic move. Right. It did surprise me. And I got to say, that makes me more optimistic.
Sure.
It certainly does.
I think as well, because... he has said that he's one of the things that he's going to bring through is consensus across more so than the previous administration.
I worry that consensus will mean papering over problems, but
I don't think it will, because I think before council just kind of went on about its business while the two idiots voted no against everything.
Sure.
Three, if you include Mammoliti. I think now what's going to happen is that you're going to see more people able to bring things to the floor and be more accepted. And yes, there will be a barking dog in the corner from Ward 2.
Sure.
Which will be easily ignored. And
he won't.
And that'll be fine.
Mark my words, he will not.
I mean in a voting sense.
Sure.
It'll be that 44-1.
He will do everything he can to get in front of cameras and on the radio especially.
Yeah.
Especially on talk radio over the next few years. I will almost guarantee you he will try to get like a show on AM 640 or something like that.
Sure, of course.
He is going to keep himself as visible as possible. You're going to hear a lot of when I'm mayor again, a lot of I was never beaten.
Yep.
A lot of exaggerations about when he was mayor.
Uh-huh.
Like I guarantee you that we saved $1 billion fact. No, it won't go up because it's such a nice round number that it's easy to remember.
Right.
It's a lie, but...
Yes!
Yeah.
It's both fake.
We're in for 4 years of him actively campaigning.
Yeah.
And whether the media in this town takes the bait or not will be debatable.
Right.
I'm curious if they will or not, just because he's such a public figure now that... Like, CP24 will cover anything he ever does.
Right.
Because they are 100% in the tank for Ford.
Mm-hmm.
They've demonstrated that. Over this election, Stephen LeDrew is, I can't, like, what do they have on that guy?
I don't know. But I think, what was it, the thing, I didn't see the broadcast, but apparently he called Tory's wife a trophy wife.
Oh my God.
At some point. I was like, wow, that's classy. And I can't,
holy
I,
hell.
It came through a tweet, but it came through a tweet from a journalist.
Right.
So I'm like, that holds
Well, he also
some,
kept that saying that the Fords have nothing to be ashamed of.
Really?
They have everything to be ashamed of.
In the same way that Doug Ford can't define the word racism, I think we really need to define the word shame.
I don't know.
It's just absolutely crazy. The two things that kind of took away from the election, which I found very interesting. Obviously, Rob Ford being elected to Ward 2.
Sure. Yeah, that's sad.
Sure.
Oh, what a heartbreaker for that guy, Andre Demise.
Andre, yeah.
Jesus.
Didn't even play second.
Although I will say, on the thing that I was doing last week, the gig, the last night that I was there, we were up in Ward 2.
Right.
Which is admittedly not an area of the city I get to a whole lot.
Sure.
And driving.
Well, they seem so nice and friendly.
Well, actually, I mean, it did. It seemed perfectly nice.
I mean, one house in particular.
Oh, right. Yeah. But we were driving like straight up Islington and looking at the signs, you saw lots of Ford signs mm-hmm. and in some cases a cartoonish amount.
Sure.
Like one house would have eight.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
I got to make sure you know.
You don't get more votes.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you saw a lot of signs for this guy, Luke LaRocque.
Right.
And I was looking around and I barely saw any Andre Demise signs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's because they were getting torn down, as right. his campaign was saying. Or if it's because he didn't have a ton of support, because
mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to admit, like, I get most of my news from Twitter,
right.
and Twitter greatly distorts the impact certain issues sure. and people are having on the city.
Is it a bad thing to get your news from Twitter?
I think so.
I think it provides immediacy.
I think it's a bad place to only get your news.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I do make myself look at other news sites.
Sure.
And I try and look at a range of them, although,
right.
you know.
That is the thing. Like, I will use it as sort of that first breaking
yeah.
point, but then I will follow those links and go see what other news agencies sure. are doing. And the reason I did that is because it would take so long for the news agencies to put things on their website. They're getting much better now.
Yes.
But like a few years ago, it was at the point where, remember when the earthquake happened? I think I may have talked about this on the show
right,
before.
Right,
remember
right.
when we had that earthquake?
Yeah.
I was in an office building at the time mm-hmm. and I refer to that devastating day as the, who's fucking with my chair minute? Like
right,
that's,
right.
like it really just felt like someone was shaking my chair and I turned around and there was a ghost. No one was there. So I'm like, that is weird. And so everyone is kind of like groundhogging off of their, up from their cubicles going, what, you know, did you feel that? I felt that. Oh, maybe there's an earthquake. And I checked like CP24, Ottawa, Toronto, like all the dailies and no one had anything yeah. up on their websites. I go, let's fire up Twitter. It's like, did you feel that? Yeah, it's a 5.6.
Yeah.
Look at the epicenters. Look at the sandwich. Thank you, Salad King, for this lovely pad thai. The earthquake. So it's sort of become that. It's become sort of like the ticker tape of...
Sure.
of
yeah,
your breaking
it's
news.
It's the news ticker, yeah.
Sure. And then you're able to follow up and go through, and there are definitely agencies I go through
yeah.
to follow it. And then, you know, The Sun, just to really kind of make you feel good about how bad your grammar is.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at The Sun occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just... There are good reporters for The Sun. Don Pete.
Don Pete comes to mind.
He's a professional. And,
right. There we go, sorry. This is what I wake up to every morning.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
That's like a Holiday Inn lounge in 1978.
And it lulls me awake. And I didn't even need that now because that message, folks, that alarm was set so that I could wake up my wife in India so she doesn't miss her plane.
Aww.
Because she called me at 2 in the afternoon my time and said, I'm packing and I'm drunk. And I'm like, I've never loved you more, sweetheart.
Do you need to take a minute to say
nope.
that message?
She's already in the shower.
Oh, great.
We're done. We're
what
good. Don't need to worry about
world
the misses.
We live in.
Nice, eh? She sent me a message from halfway across the world telling me she's in the shower.
Yeah, that's great.
No pictures?
Oh.
Son of a... I wasn't going to share them with you.
Please.
That's for my private
don't,
time.
Don't. It'd be super awkward.
That's for my private time.
I know your wife. She's lovely. Yeah, I don't need to see that.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. I could use a shower shot. Now, no, seriously, Don Pete... who wrote
by the way, can I also say that
absolutely
taking a picture of yourself in the shower, like that's not going to be a flattering picture.
I don't know.
Like if you're awkwardly
Misty?
with one hand trying to take a picture of it and keep your phone dry.
Well, no, because the phones actually now have a timer, so you could set it up so it's like the Misty shower screen,
right?
And you know some of the hotels have the light up there, so it you know, casts some nice shadows
so
that are flattering.
You set the phone,
right.
And then you have 5 seconds to run into the shower.
Oh, they give you 10.
Okay,
so
10.
You know they don't want you slipping.
Please don't.
I'm pretty sure that was the time that Steve Jobs set on that. Is that
right.
How long does this take me to get into the shower?
Yeah,
make it 10
and not slip. Yeah,
right.
They did tests.
They did tests. Five. We've had 5 fatalities on 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Up the time limit, guys.
Move it to 10. There were some papers that, and certainly The Sun, like when you look at those reporters that were great,
mm-hmm.
that you follow, and they actually had a sense of humor about it,
mm-hmm.
you just wonder, what is their day like when they walk into that building?
Oh, I can't imagine.
And look at the trolls that are fueling Sun TV and stuff like that. When you have to walk by Sue Ann Levy's desk, do you not just go, oh, Christ?
Well, it's just that weird thing of, like, I mean, the Sun at this point is, it's a tabloid, and it always has been. It's fueled by opinion, which is why their columnists
pontificate as opposed to,
well, constantly just try and ride that line of, like, they'll call themselves journalists, but mm-hmm. you're not.
Right.
They'll say, like, I'm not a reporter, I'm a columnist. And it's like, okay.
Which one do you want?
So basically you just write op-eds. Like, that's all you do. Yeah. Like, Joe Warmington is not a reporter, by his own words. And he's not even a journalist. He is just an opinion editor mm-hmm. Who transcribes interviews unflinchingly.
Right.
Because, I mean, when he was doing interviews for the Fords, they know that not only will he print anything that we say, no matter how laughable, but he will add his own color commentary to it, bolstering right. it. He's their hype man.
Mm-hmm.
And it will, by virtue of the fact that he is the only reporter in town that they'll talk to,
right.
it will be a front page exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be given the legitimacy of being real news, when in fact it's just a press release.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's...
The only thing missing is a publicist's phone number and 30-30 at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, it's gross. But I don't know.
Okay, so the last thing I want to bring up on this
yes.
is that I found very interesting, first of all, Ford getting in to Ward 2, but when they brought in Mikey, now his last name, Ford... Who is the
Here's
nephew.
The thing I will say about that last name change.
Okay.
In fairness, his original last name is Stirpe or something like that.
Something like
that. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Sure.
But yeah, Stirpe. In fairness, that is the last name of his father who shot his mom accidentally in the face with a shotgun.
Sure.
So I can't.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's sure. a conversation. But. If that guy wanted to change his name, I don't begrudge that.
I wonder if that's on the form when you go to change your name. So yeah. you want to change your last name to form? Why? I'll just tick the dad shop mom box.
Yeah.
And okay, in you come, son.
That's one of those weird things, but it's also, I mean, like, he did it right before
of
he,
course he did.
Signed the thing.
But yeah. again, it goes to paint that brand.
Yeah.
So in the shuffling of the deck chairs on the Titanic, I get all my breaking news on this shit when I'm up at the Mazda dealership getting my car fixed.
Because are you at the Mazda dealership?
We really have a dodgy car. Actually, no. I think it's the news cycle is always synchronized with my oil changes. I think that's all that happens. So because when the crack story broke,
right?
I was at the Mazda dealership for that. When this shuffling of the guard happened,
right.
which sent Doug Mayer,
oh,
Rob
yeah.
Ward 2,
yeah.
kick Mikey out of Ward 2, send him as a trustee for the school board.
Yeah.
That I was up at the car dealership. So it's getting to the point now where the people behind the counter are going, oh, you ready for some news today? I guess. I don't know. It's going to happen. But so they put him in. He wins, obviously, on name first, recognition yeah. alone. Mikey Ford is a high school dropout.
Is he a dropout?
He's a dropout.
I thought he finished high school.
Nope. That's not as I understand it, unless he's got his GED.
Holy smokes.
So he's got that going for him. When you listen to his speech, he finally made a speech to people. He sounds just like a buzz clip. Like, he sounds like a happier Rob. You know, and just like, yeah, it's going to be about customer service and we're going to get the people, but customer service in a fucking school board?
Oh, Lord.
What are you going to do? Bring me pencils to the house?
Good
How
God.
Is this going to work? And, he sent out a tweet to clarify, where he voted and had grammar and spelling mistakes in it.
Good heavens. Good heavens.
Mikey Ford, we salute you. Thank you for bringing edumacation to the forefront.
Yeah, but as someone else said, one reporter said online, congratulations, Mikey Ford. You're now in for 4 years of a low-paying job where parents yell at you at trustee meetings.
Right.
Like,
congrats.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
He's just there. It's, you know, like in boxing where you hone your skills on a palooka.
Yes.
And then work your way up. That's what school trustee is for Mikey Ford. It's him doing a job that no one right. could possibly fail at
uh-huh.
to get something on paper for when they inevitably need him to run for city council.
Right. Do you ever think we'll get that final scene where Rob Ford is sitting in the back of his house going, it could have been someone, it could have been a contender, it could have been No, that would mean that he has probably watched a classic movie that doesn't have the words "Wild Hotter" throbbing in the title. So ew. That's my guess.
Gross.
I believe I may have stolen that from Diane from Cheers, who was chastising Sam Malone, who is another sort that of blue collar yob.
That's right.
Is like, I can't believe you saw a film that didn't have the words "Wild Hotter" throbbing in the title. Do you ever surprise yourself with like the clips that you have of shows in your head?
Sure.
Like of those lines that just for whatever reason will never go away.
There was my girlfriend and I were watching rewatching Frasier again a couple months ago because it was on Netflix. Oh,
beautiful.
Oh, dude, it is so, especially those first five seasons.
Yes.
They are as good a TV sitcom as has ever been made.
Mm-hmm.
Every episode is like a perfectly crafted little one-act farce.
Yes.
And there was a line from it when Frasier gets kicked out of a British bar and he's offended them. And he's trying not to get kicked out. He's like, "I'm just like you. I spell color with a U." And I realized that line had been in my head since I originally saw it aired back in like 1995.
Right.
And when the line was coming up in the episode, I actually said it out loud before it was on.
Right.
And Jen was like, "Did you watch this recently?" And I was like, "I haven't watched this in almost 20 years."
Right.
But it's still in my head
because
I'm broken as a
yes.
human. Because I am deficient
yes.
in ways where I can't remember my father's birthday
right.
with any accuracy,
uh-huh.
but I can remember lines from Cheers yep. or lines from sitcoms.
The celebration flashpoint for that is the Simpsons trivia night, where I sit there and I go through these things and I go, "Oh my God, how do I know that? And whose birthday am I forgetting? Mom!"
At least with Simpsons, I can comfort myself knowing that I've watched those episodes dozens of times.
For sure.
And I don't know if that's a real comfort, but it's like, I've watched it enough that like, okay, this should be stuck in my brain.
Right.
But that, it's hilarious, and I wouldn't have watched it that many times if I didn't genuinely love it.
Sure. And it's a clever show. There are worse shows that you could know every line from. Oh my God, did I not? Apparently I don't know how to turn it off. But,
you.
You know what that is? That's my reflex for the morning, because as soon as I hear it, I hit the snooze.
You're like the guys at the movies. It's terrible. Hit
another, let's text while we do this. And then I just wish we had some people over here tittering and going, yeah, that's right, with every point that we make. The line that, speaking of Frasier, the other one that always gets me from Cheers, it was a Rebecca Howe episode where she's on a health kick.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Frasier's been thrown out of his house, so he's been sleeping at the bar. Does that ring a bell for you?
Vaguely. I'm not as familiar with later Cheers.
So he's obviously exhausted and cranky. And so he shows up to the bar just to get a coffee or something like that. And Rebecca swings in with these rice cakes and goes, "Hey, do you want to try this?" And he goes, "No, I won't eat that crap." Mm-hmm. He goes, "Really? You should you should listen to me and do this." And he goes, "Well, actually, I don't have to listen to some tree-hugging, dirt-munching druid." And just blows up like that. And I don't know why the words "tree-hugging, dirt-munching druid" has ever stuck with me.
So that was a Frasier line?
That was a Frasier line. And then he immediately double back and went, "I apologize, I'm exhausted." Yeah. His was a perfect character. He's one of those actors that I've always loved.
Yeah.
And like, even when he starts going kind of right-wingy, I'm still like, yeah, but it's his opinion.
Oh,
that's
fine. I've never seen him express an opinion that I'm not like, that's a valid opinion.
Sure. Like, he's clever.
Yeah. Well,
but like, though eccentric. Apparently.
I guess. I've never seen... maybe I don't follow his political views that much. I've never seen him be like a dick about it.
Right.
You know? That and... did you see the X-Men movie that came out this summer?
No, I missed it.
Then I will say nothing more because it's a great moment at the end.
Oh, does Kelsey Grammer show up? He's giving me these shifty eyes a la the dog that you don't expect at the end of the Simpsons episode.
The dog,
because no one expects the dog. Bum, bum, bum.
Watch that movie. It's a quality movie.
Okay.
Well, and our friend Jason Deline is in it.
It's not for lack of want. That's right. He is in that.
He is, yes.
That's right.
There's a scene in the Oval Office in the White House where a big set piece has just happened. Like a big action sequence, and the president and all his advisors are there, and there's like new TV news on in the background. They have like four TVs set up.
Right.
And he's one of the newscasters.
Mm-hmm.
With a big ol' Ron Swan. No. Yeah, big ol' Ron Swanson mustache.
He showed on Facebook. Jason DeLine, by the way, friend of the show, has been on here quite a few times. We're trying to get him back.
Very
too bad
funny
he's busy
actor.
going out to Vancouver to avoid the winter and getting engaged.
Yeah, I know, right? What a
jerk. And if you follow him on Facebook, Boy, oh boy, do you get a play-by-play of everything that's going on in his life photographically.
He does. Yeah. He
it's a photo essay, really. He
likes documenting things. Yes. If you follow me on Facebook, all you get are play-by-plays of my cat.
By the way, a happy National Cat Day.
Happy National Cat
Day. I don't know how we're going to celebrate tonight.
I don't know either.
Probably just feed him.
Yeah, I should do that.
That'd be something.
Our cat had his first birthday the other day.
Congratulations.
We celebrated that, yes.
Uh-huh.
We have not let him die on him in a year. The hat on him?
Yeah, the little pointy birthday hat. How'd you get that on him? You didn't do that?
No.
Oh, you got to do that for the first birthday.
Oh, yeah, no, he would
show
hate,
him who's
he
boss.
Would hate that a great deal.
That's why.
Oh, God. Is he the scratch on my nose? That's from him.
Is that from him?
Oh, that's from him.
Oh,
for
so you
sure.
were trying the hat.
Yes. No. We gave him a special dinner.
Okay.
Which was the thing he wants to eat the most in the world, which
Cheezies.
Is what we're eating.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So really? We can't get our cat to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I made salmon for dinner.
Okay.
Like, for Jen and I, and I just, like, gave him a portion
mm-hmm.
and let him go to town on it.
And he loved it?
He loved it.
Right.
Like, balsamic glazed salmon, he was...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I dream of our cat doing that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You want your cat to try and eat your food? Because it's a pain in the butt.
No. I mean, it would be nice, like, to just be like, hey, here you go, buddy. Like, you know, like, just like a... You know, throw him a little bit, just like
right.
just like a dog would.
Sure.
We, when we have to house-sit the golden retriever over here... Just that thing eats in seconds.
Right.
Like you will literally put the food in the dish, turn around, go, oh, did I do it? And there will be no evidence that you actually did it.
Yes.
The bowl is spinning. Found out the cat does like prosciutto.
Oh, cool.
That's his one thing.
Wow.
Weird, right?
No, I mean, it's just meat.
It is just meat.
It's just salty meat.
But it's very specific.
That's very specific.
Right. We've obviously, with the wife of town, we've given him a mob name. Jimmy Tiptoes.
Aww.
Right?
Aww.
Because he just comes into the house. He doesn't, you don't know that he's there. Dun,
yeah,
dun,
that's
dun,
great.
Dun, except for the pizzicato violins that we have following him. Dun, 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 dun.
You got to stop spending money on those violins.
I love them, though. It's a touch of class that Jimmy Tiptoes likes. And we found out that he's a mobster, obviously, because he likes his prosciutto. I'm getting that from.
Well, you do live in Little Italy.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Hey, how's Jimmy Tiptoes? He's still living.
Oh man, I was what is it? The Italian place that's down. It's not off Shaw in College. It's like Il Gatto.
Oh, Gatto Nero.
There you go.
Yep.
I was biking past there the other day, and there were three guys on the patio who, like, they couldn't not have been mobsters.
Right.
It was like
no, I know the three guys you mean.
Oh really?
Oh yes.
Because this was like an older guy,
right?
And then like a less old guy. Like, the older guy wearing a suit, a less mm-hmm. old guy, and then, like, in, like, a tracksuit, and then, like, a young guy.
Sure.
With, like, a blazer with, like, a t-shirt under it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, the look on the three of them, the way they were conducting business,
yes.
I was like, you, there's uh-huh. no way the three of you have legitimate business
right.
together.
Yes. Oh, it is legitimate.
Sure, yes. And I don't want to stereotype about that.
No,
it was
no.
just like, if you'd seen these three men, I can't put my finger on what it is, but it's like, I know you're up to no good.
I don't know why you're worried. Think about me. Whenever we walk by that place and they're sitting out there, they will be doing, talking their stuff. They go, hey, Agata. And they're like, hey. And what? What is this? And yeah. apparently, because I will do this anytime there's a family gathering on her side.
Yeah.
And just look around and go, so who's the connected one? And they always say, like, oh, Todd, we're not connected. And I'm like, mm-hmm, sure, whatever. And then, like, you go to enough weddings, they go, okay, there's one guy who's like a cousin of a cousin.
Right.
And and apparently this is the one guy that after one wedding, I had found the, did you know that they sometimes serve whiskey at weddings?
Okay.
Yeah. I found that out a lot. And, by the end of the night, I was hanging out with this guy.
Oh, cool.
And, apparently I had agreed to do something for him. And I didn't realize that was the guy.
Holy smokes.
And so we're in the car driving home, and my wife turns to me and goes, that guy you were talking to, all I heard was you saying, absolutely, we'll do that. What were you going to do? And I went, I honestly don't know. Why? I go, that's probably the connected guy. And I'm like, well, maybe we'll get a box at the house or something.
Is that with that big rolled up carpet
yes.
in your front?
We're doing home reno in
gotcha.
Air quotes.
Excellent. Okay.
He says in the microphone that he can't make air quotes with.
It's okay. I already broke that rule.
Right. I'm trying to think of the last thing that we did together. It was we did a fundraiser together, you and I.
Yes.
Which was for breast cancer, I believe it was. Or no, it was Cancer Ward here in Toronto.
Yep.
St. Margaret's, I
yep.
think it was.
Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, that show may still be going on. It was wickedly long. You and Pete, Peter Hill came on and did Beggar's Canyon.
Yes.
Which is great to see.
Oh, thanks.
And then you had done, like, because I don't get to see it often, and they were new sketches for me, so I hadn't seen you guys in a while, obviously. And I'd seen that you were doing stuff afterwards as well. How's that going? How's Beggar's Canyon?
We enjoy it. I mean, it's kind of our little recreational comedy thing.
Right.
We're not doing it as aggressively as we used to do the old group.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
approximately
fun.
Three Peters, for people who don't know.
Which was a troupe around for a few years that no longer exists, really. Me and Pete and Peter are supposed
Do you need to go now?
Like, we keep trying to make it's that thing of you get into your 30s and you're trying to make plans with friends.
Right.
Especially when one of them lives in Burlington and has two kids and a third on the way.
Oh, he's dead. He's dead to you right now. There's no way you're going to see him
once a year. And sure. I want to hang out with that guy more. We got to do that. But no, Beggar's Canyon, it's fun. Mm-hmm. I've been too busy in the last couple of weeks for us to sit down, but we have a show coming up in December. I forget exactly when, but... yeah, we should write some new stuff for that.
Or not.
Yeah.
Just rest on your laurels and go with the A-list.
But it's just a fun thing to try out material and do stuff. And same, like I'm doing Sunday Night Live this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to come in as an alumni.
Very nice.
Which I'm very excited about.
Who's the guest this Sunday? Because this will be out in time for that.
Well, that's the thing, actually. Their format right now, they don't really do a host anymore.
Oh, okay.
They have guests come in.
Sure.
Like they'll usually just come in for like one or two sketches.
Cool.
Like I know last week, Pat Thornton was there with Lana Johnston. Usually like friends of the show kind of stuff. So I don't know who else is going to be there this weekend. I honestly don't know. We've got our pitch meeting tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and pitch a real dumb sketch about The Shining.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
What's dumb about it?
Well, no one who listens to this is going to come to the show.
Yes, they will. They'll want to see this. This is your opportunity to big it up. Do promo, you jackass.
Okay, so it's a sketch about that scene. You've seen The Shining, I take it, right?
Absolutely, many times.
So you know that scene at the very end when everything's, like, the shit's hitting the fan, and Wendy is running away,
mm-hmm.
and she's freaking out because she starts seeing ghosts everywhere,
yes.
and it's, like, the ghost of the butler, mm-hmm. and then, like, a bunch of skeletons in the front room, and then she runs up a stairway, and she looks into a room, and there's a guy in a giant furry dog costume going down on a guy in a tux.
Right.
And it's a scene that when you describe that scene to most people, they're like, I don't remember that.
Right.
And I'm like, yes, because it comes and goes so fast.
Right.
And it has like one of those amazing 70s, like super zooms in on those two guys.
Yes.
And it's so comical.
Right.
Because it is never addressed again mm-hmm. and never justified. And I just want to do a whole thing about that.
Who directed this movie again?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, now I'm getting it. Okay.
But, yeah, it's just one of those things that I'm like, for such a horror classic,
right?
That one thing just sticks out like a sore thumb, but it goes by so fast,
right?
And so much stuff happens after it that you often forget it's in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those things that, like, every time I watch it, when it gets to that part, I'm like, oh yeah,
right. We've got a furry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do
you think Kubrick started furry culture?
Oh God!
Is there some guy in a movie theater beside his day going, now that's something I could get into?
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
So I was sitting there going, why the Kubrick? Like, of course, it's a Halloween episode.
Kind of. I mean, it'll be 2 days after Halloween. Right.
It's close enough.
Close enough.
Doesn't matter. A lot of people are going to be going out at that time anyway.
Yep.
Still doing that. Do you have, speaking of Halloween, do you have like a movie that you go to get you in the mood for those things? Like for particular seasons. Like, for example, Thanksgiving, I always like to watch Planes, Trains.
Right.
That's mine.
That's fair.
Christmas, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I have lots for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you were going to go on. You had more examples.
But, like, for Halloween.
Right.
Do you ever have something like, this I need to watch for this?
Yes and no. At Halloween, I tend to like watching as many horror movies as I can. And I try and watch ones I've never seen. Because it's only in the last few years that I've really gotten into them.
Right.
Like, for example, this month I've watched a ton.
Okay.
Even today, before coming over here while I was cleaning my apartment, I watched House on Haunted Hill.
Okay.
Like the original Vincent Price one.
Ooh.
Yes. This woman.
Was he wearing an ascot? A frightening ascot.
This woman is playing my wife. Yeah. Fantastic, though. Vincent Price is the best.
Right.
So I watched that.
You're a monster.
I watched that, and I watched the remake of Carrie.
Is that any good?
Yes and no.
Is Travolta in it? Maybe that's what's wrong.
He still plays a teenager. It's weird. It's like him hitting on like some 17-year-old girl. It's
Why
bizarre.
Does he keep singing songs from Greece?
I know.
Okay.
But no, like it's not bad.
Okay.
The one thing I will say is I think Chloe Grace Moretz is such a strong actress.
Right.
That there are times in it that I have a hard time buying that she is this perpetually terrified, oppressed girl.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, by the time in the movie when she's finally going to the prom with the guy and she's, right. like, realized that she has these powers and she's kind of okay with it.
Right.
And she, like, gets a makes a dress and, like, he picks her up. She just looks like – it's like the scene in She's All That.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, this girl who was
– I've never heard those two movies paired together, but that makes sense.
This girl who was ugly the whole time was pretty all along. And it's like, yes, she radiates confidence.
Right.
Like, I have a hard time buying that she's still, like, this fragile little creature, just because I find her such a strong actress. And then in the end...
Cut to Ian's childhood, his mother reading him a story at bedtime, and Cinderella and the Prince lived happily ever after. Bullshit, Mom! Bullshit!
I was an angry child.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah, but no, it was a cool movie. It wasn't bad. I mean, it's not a movie that necessarily needed to be remade.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't add anything to it.
Okay.
Arguably, it was in a couple of nips and tucks, more close to the King novel.
Sure.
But not in any way that really matters.
Right.
It was just, you know, it was a well-acted remake.
Mm-hmm. Have there been, any remakes of stick with the horror genre, that you can remember that actually did very well? I haven't seen the new Dawn of the Dead. And when I say new, that was within the past 10 years.
I've heard that's actually...
With Sarah Polley's in it, of all things.
I've never gotten around to it, and I've heard it's quite good. And the fact that it's Zack Snyder makes me want to watch it less.
Okay.
Because that guy stomps on my nerves.
He's a bad dentist. I used to live around the corner from where they shot one of the big things.
Oh, really?
And I may have told this story on this show before. The old York Bar and Grill has a lovely patio. It's one of the best in the city, tucked away in a little corner. And it's across the street from one of the last abattoirs in Toronto.
Okay.
Abattoir is a slaughterhouse. And we would often
see... But for butlers.
Yeah. And they would bring in the butlers disguised as pigs in on big trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the trucks would leave empty. You got used to that. It would smell of pig shit from time to time. I would feel homesick because, you know, my grandparents had a farm. I would get used to that smell. It was nice. And buddies of mine were sitting out on the patio one day when they were filming Dawn of the Dead. And so they hear the truck coming. They think, oh, it's an empty pig truck. They look over, and it is a flatbed truck covered and stacked with human torsos. And they both did that thing that you see in the cartoons where they followed it with their eyes, looked at their beers, looked back at the truck, put the beers down, and went and paid and went home.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
It's one of my favorite. I wish I'd been there. Totally wish I'd been there. How are we doing for time? We got to get it out of here.
Okay.
Got to get it out of here. Yeah, we'll leave on torsos. Truckload of torsos.
Torsos. Right.
One last thing. You got anything that you're optimistic about in the coming months? We're coming down to the last 2 months of the year.
Like?
Anything. Is it something politically, something in your career that you're looking forward to?
I'm having a ton of fun writing stuff for the Beaverton still.
Beautiful.
And it looks like there might be big things on the horizon for the Beaverton.
Nice.
That I'm not allowed to talk about yet.
Of course not.
But
can I guess? Is it a new font?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to be doing
everything. It's about time you got away from Comic Sans. No! Get away from that!
That's the go-to font name.
Right.
For every font.
Lobster is the new Comic Sans. That's my favorite one. Well, congratulations on the Beaverton.
Oh. I didn't start it, nor do I profit from it. But cool, okay.
But no, it's a wonderful sight.
I enjoy it a lot. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, did you see, I was very proud of the one that I wrote yesterday afternoon in 50 minutes.
Right.
In my underpants. It was Doug Ford.
Can I just assume that every article you're writing is in your underpants? That's how I picture it.
That's
them.
A given.
Okay.
But it was Doug Ford returns to role as 80s movie bully.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think on the back of that, Taggart, Jeremy Taggart, former drummer of Our Lady Peace.
Okay, of course.
Jeremy Taggart. Another friend of the show.
Oh, wow.
He posted a picture comparing Doug Ford and I'm blanking on the name. The bad guy in Back to the Future.
Oh, Biff.
Biff.
Biff Tannen. Yeah.
Biff, but in I think it's Back to the Future 2, where he's got like the big hair back and the huge collar.
When he's in the 80s and he's a millionaire. That's the one. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen
so
that.
They do that shot back to back and you go, Jesus, he's not far off.
He's not far off. I'll tell you.
At all.
The one, I didn't come up with this. I think it was Nick Flanagan who pointed it out, the similarity, but I put up pictures of them side by side, like the tweet replying to his. And I was just like, holy smokes. It was a picture of Doug Ford.
Right.
And a picture of the father from the show Dinosaurs.
Oh my God, you're right.
Earl Sinclair.
Yes.
And like, when I Google imaged it, I managed to find a picture of Earl Sinclair in a suit.
Right.
And it was just like, it was too perfect.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
And the comparison I made the other day is that when you looked at Rob Ford in the footage from his house on election night, he was looking more and more like either the Kingpin or the Cartoon Hero 6. One of those two.
Oh,
it's not looking well.
A little bit like Kingpin.
A little bit like Kingpin. Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right. So we'll end on a Kingpin joke now.
All right.
There we go. Ian McIntyre, we can find you at Mr. Ian McIntyre on Twitter.
Yep.
We'll put that in the show notes. You can find them. As well, we'll put a link to the Beaverton.
Sure.
That sounds great. And thank you for coming by.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Always a pleasure. It would not be a season without you. And I'm glad that we were able to put this together.
Thanks for the cheese and crackers.
That's our code for crack. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow me personally at HeyIt'sTVA. You can follow this very podcast on Twitter at CATP Podcast. It's right, folks. Cat P. Follow us on iTunes. Don't follow us. Go download on iTunes. You know what to do. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell your friends all about it. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. On behalf of Ian, the erstwhile Darcy, and myself, when you're listening to Cat P, you're in for a good time.
Lately, I find I rush. Can't piece together the sun.